Okay, it's good to be here again, and here it is, January 1st, and we just had Christmas last week and all the weeks of Advent building up to it, and it seems like we ought to talk about something Christmassy, but yet I think that what we're talking about today and the new year really is all about Christmas, that Jesus did his part, and it's time for us now to do our part, and so I think this message really is a huge extension of the Christmas message, and just following the example of what Christ has given us. So let's just open in prayer, and Lord, we come to you, and Lord, a new year, and Lord, we just ask that you would just guide and direct us, especially this year. Lord, if we knew that this was the year you were coming, how would that affect how we carried out our lives through this year? How much more passion and diligence would we live with? And so, Lord, we just ask you to just bring that to our attention here this morning and just guide my words, and Lord, just let this message just settle in our hearts as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. So here it is, January the 1st, 2017, so now we have to start working on trying to remember to write 2017, and isn't it amazing how frustrated we get, you know, when it's like February, we still write 16, and we let something little like that bother us, but at any rate, this is a new start, it's a fresh start, it's a new unwritten beginning that lays ahead of us. What will 2000 hold for us? You know, many people are excited because a new president coming, and it feels like, from what I hear, so many Christians are saying, you know, it feels like we have a hope now. It feels like Christian values are going to be promoted and things like that. So I do see that people do have a hope heading into 2017, but that's not the case for everybody. Not everybody holds that same belief there. But the question really is, what does it hold for us personally? There are so many things that happen outside of our realm of control that happen to us that just by the course of being in life, that things happen that we have to deal with. But what we're going to talk about here today is about the things that are in our control, about actually taking charge and guiding and directing our lives in a way, in the areas where we do have an effect. So the question is, what will we make of this new year that lays before us? Let's start by taking a look at two verses here, because we have to wonder, what is going to be our push, our passion? What's going to be our drive that's going to keep us going through the whole year so we don't run out like a cheap New Year's commitment? So two verses really stand out to me because they just really motivate to me. These just stand out as two of my favorite Christian or Christmas verses. And the first one is Matthew 1:21. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And the reason I like this is because Jesus had a purpose to be born, a purpose. We also are born for a purpose. The second verse is Luke 1:38. "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." And there we see a calling on Mary's life and an obedience that she had, that she obeyed as she went along. And we passed out bulletin inserts, and there's little things that you can just fill in here as we go along, as you come across these. And I know, at least for guys, it seems to really help when it's visual. When you write it down, it just helps us remember more and a little bit easier to go back. So if you feel led, and you can fill them in also. But a calling and to be obeyed. We also have a calling on our lives that needs to be obeyed in 2017. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And so many times we focus on the first half of that in a salvation message application. We focus on the sinning part. But the second part says, "And come short of the glory of God." And I believe today's message really speaks to the second half of that, of how that we can glorify God in the midst of our lives. I believe this is the main thing that he wants us to do. God could take us away out of this earth the moment we're saved, but he intends to leave us here for a reason, to make a difference. And so I think today's message really speaks to that. As we sin, we short-circuit our purpose and our calling, and we settle for instant gratification. But by keeping our eyes on the purpose and calling, that will help us sin less and less as we go further and further. You know, even part of the definition of Christian is the called out ones. And so calling is very, very important in this Christian walk. It's seldom taught that it's salvation that we give up all of our rights. And if you really think back to a salvation prayer, you say, you know, Lord, you know, I give up my life, Lord, to follow you, to serve you. And what we're really saying is that we're giving up all of our rights to our hopes and dreams, everything that we wanted to achieve in our lives, everything that we thought we wanted, and we're giving them up to now become a Christian and to serve God. And it sounds very scary to give up everything that you've hoped and dreamed for, but yet God replaces them with even better hopes and dreams because they will have eternal results. And there I've done brought up the word eternal and eternity. And that's really the main focus of what we're looking at here today. But just a quick note that this isn't really applying to the salvation part of eternity, and it's definitely not applying to doing works and just doing stuff to buy our way into the kingdom. But it is talking about eternity and our eternity making a difference for eternity. So as we focus on God's will for life, we will begin to have focus on our part of guiding what happens in our lives in 2017. And sometimes when we look at Jesus as our example, it seems too big, too hard because he was perfect. He was without sin. And it seems unattainable as we say, well, you know, I just need to do what Jesus did. It seems unattainable. But then when we look at Paul, he seems a little bit more human to us in a way, if I may, because he was a man that did the wrong things and had passions. And so I'd like to focus a lot on Paul today, but Paul's focus was on Christ, as we'll see. But Paul got it, and he had an experience with God, and it changed his whole focus, and it drove him to live it out every single day until the day he died. And even in his death, I'm sure that it was a magnificent testimony of who Christ was in his life. So I'd like to read a lot of Paul's writings today, if you'll just take this in. And the main portion is going to be in Philippians 3 right here. We're just going to read a couple verses and then talk and go and talk. And so we'll just try to move through this here pretty quick. But Philippians 3, 4 through 6. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I, Paul, have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regards to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. And as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. And what we get from this is he was equipped for success by worldly standards. Now, as we take a look at that, everything there is religious based on the Jew, but I'm using the word worldly standards because it was incorrect. And that's what Jesus was trying to get across to him, that it was he was doing religious things, but it was very different than the relationship that God wanted him to have and the life that he wanted to live out. So that's why I used the word worldly standards there. But he was equipped. It sounded like he was the top. He was the best of the best. But then he goes on in verses 7 through 11. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything to be loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the base of faith. And then he goes on and says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings and become like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. We see here all the worldly credentials meant nothing to him, but that I may know him and become like him. And as you look, you can even see an eternal focus there. And yes, that may be a little bit more towards his salvation being in heaven for eternity, but there's an eternal focus. And we see this again and again through this next little section here. Verses 12 to 17. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take a hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And on some point, if you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained, or have knowledge of. Join together in following my examples, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us for a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. And I believe here that we're seeing a humility, a calling. We're seeing him learning and him compelling others to learn. And he's saying, follow me as I follow Christ, as he says other places in the scripture. Verse 18, for I have told you often before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. That's powerful words there. Live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But then he goes on and it changes. And he says, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables us to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like glorious bodies. And here we see a warning of earthly focus. We also see a heavenly focus where he kept his eyes. And again, we see an eternal focus. God has called us to be in the world, but just not of the world. So he wants us to work and interact in the world here, but with our focus totally on the heavenly kingdom. And it's amazing as you get a lesson ready, and then you hear the songs that somebody that doesn't have a clue picked out. And in every single song, I wish I could have written down everything and brought it and plugged it right into here, because every single song I see something that ties into this message that nobody knew. Listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians 11, 22 to 28. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. Of the Jews, his own people, five times he received 40 stripes save one. Three times he was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, lost at sea, floating at sea, for a day and a night. That would give a person time to do some thinking, wouldn't it? In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside these things which are without, that which cometh on me daily, the care of the churches. Paul didn't quit after the fourth whipping and say, you know what, I think now, I get it now. God's calling me to be an undercover missionary. He's calling me, I'm just gonna back away from what I'm doing, and I'm just gonna be a little bit more of an undercover missionary, so I'm not quite out there putting myself out. He didn't say that. He just kept right on going through all this stuff. Where does it say that he stopped in the midst of this life? Is there any of us that desire a life that reads like this? But Paul was somehow able, by keeping his eyes on Christ, by saying, I want to know him. I want to understand what he went through. And as we read this, it just motivates us to say, if Paul did it, I got to give us a whack too. You know, I know God hasn't called me to do what he called Paul to do, but he has surely called me to follow this example and for me to step out of my comfort zone and to go further than where I am right now. Following your calling is going to cost you something. It cost Jesus, it cost Paul, and it's certainly going to cost us something. But Paul didn't give up. when times got hard, because he had a burden for the people. And we read that in that last part right there. Beside those things which are out, which cometh on me daily, the care of all the churches. And I have to believe that that was a driving force in him, that he saw the people and he remembered who he was. He thought he was following God hard by being a good Jew, but yet there was an emptiness and something inside of him. And there was something that drove him. When he had that experience with God, it says, other people need to know this God the way that he's shown himself to me now. There's a verse in the Bible, I didn't look it up exactly where it is, where Paul says, I worked with my own hands so that I was not a burden unto you, that he made tents. And I have to believe that while he was doing manual labor, earning his wages, his mind, I'm sure that he did tents enough that he could do what he was doing, but he had the strength of mind that he could drift away into the kingdom realm of things. And while he's doing what he's doing, that he says, you know what, God, that person that you showed me yesterday, God, they just don't get it yet. Lord, I pray that you put that person in my path again. Lord, I pray that you give me the words to speak to this person again, Lord, that they can see what I know of you. And I'm sure that his mind was consumed constantly as he went around to all the churches and met people. I'm sure that people came to his mind constantly that he hadn't thought of for a while and just heavy on his mind. And he prayed for him and interacted and said, I wonder what's going in their life. Lord, give them what they need. That he felt a heavy weight. You know, I can't imagine Pastor John doing what he does, a full-time job, but then having the weight of a congregation on his shoulders and saying, Lord, give me the words. Show me what to do. Show me how to guide this church. And I believe that's the same thing right here. We're seeing right here that he had a burden for the people even while he was working in the world. But this next verse right here is the one that started this whole thing, that I listened to the Bible while I'm working, and this verse just jumped out. And I thought, I've got to dig into that more. And that's what brought this whole lesson about. And it's in 2 Corinthians 12:15. And Paul says, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Although the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. And if we read that again in the Young's Literal Translation, it says it this way. And I most gladly will spend and be entirely spent for your souls, even if more abundantly loving you, less I am loved. Paul says, I will send my resources and my entire self for you, even though there was no reward or no thanks coming back from the people that he was investing in. But his focus there was their souls. How could Paul do this? Because he saw Jesus do it. How can we do this? Because we see Paul and we see Jesus have a passion and a calling on their lives. The calling in your life will call you out of your comfort zone. It will seem bigger than anything that you're capable of or have ever done before. It's because God calls us to do it with him and with his power working through us, but not in our own strength or by our own thinking. Will you watch this video with me, please? That's in reference to a book called Driven by Eternity by John Bevere. I'm just starting to read that book. It was out like 10 years ago, and he felt so compelled to do that again. He was at a conference down in South America somewhere, and he was talking to a pastor about how quick their church has grown. And he says, I thought I knew the answer to this, but he says, how do you grow a church that big that fast? And the pastor, without even hesitating, says, you Americans focus on the temporal. But he says, down here, we focus on the eternal. And that's what compelled him to do this so much. And I can't watch that without that moving me time after time. And I didn't show that to be a heavy thing on us. But we are certainly called to seek out God, seek out the calling he has on us, and then follow it and let the results to God. And the one that moves me the most is the mother there. I mean, I see the guy look over at the globe and then shake his head and look away from it. That you could tell that it was constantly on his mind, that he had a knowing and awareness that something was going on there, that God was speaking to him. But the mother, when it says, you know, she didn't feel worthy, but yet the 1 million in some souls. And so what I want to bring out from that is we need to let the results to God. As crazy as something sounds that God has called us to do, if we know that He has called us, we feel that conviction, we need to do it. You know, you've probably noticed in life, you never have time and money at the same time. But when you have time, give your time to God. When you have money, give your money to God. Use your resources that God puts out in front of you, your circles of influence. You may not have what needs done for a certain project, but you may know somebody that your favor with them may bring that resource to the kingdom of God for that project. We're not all called to be overseas missionaries or pastors or leaders or Sunday school teachers, but we are all called to do something for the Lord that has eternal results. And I've been taught over the years that if you don't yet know your calling, or if you're still trying to decipher it and find out, they said, join in with somebody that you see that's already serving God hard. Join in to the church, to the things that happens here with the clothing giveaway, with the cafe thing, you know? It'd be interesting when we get to heaven that this next time somebody might walk in here that's never been here before, and ham and green beans may be their favorite meal. Now, who compelled and who picked ham and green beans, I don't know. But we just need to let the results to God. We just need to be obedient to the calling, the nudging He gives us, and just let things go. I think heaven is going to be full of times He says, do you remember that time? Here's why. And we're going to say, man, if I had only known, I would have done so much more. But the Holy Spirit is just required to tell us what. He's not required to tell us why. It's on a need-to-know basis, and we don't need to know. That's how that works. But there's already three things that I know the Lord has prompted me to work on in 2017. And goodness knows I've got enough stuff to do that I feel overwhelmed. In fact, I'm out of balance. I know that I'm doing more things than I should. But once you join an organization like Love Inc. or something like that, and when other people don't join and do their part, the ones that have already joined in, I see are compelled to overdo and do more and more because the work is still there and the work needs done. But right here is one thing that I know the Lord has called. I drive past Snake Springs School where I went to school years ago. About that fifth window down is the principal's office, and I remember sitting on the bench out there side one time only, okay? But as I drive past that school, yes, it has lots of memories, but I drove past that sign blown over like that several different times over this past month or so. And I drove past and turned down Hoover Road and went on down around and conviction. Dennis, you know what you got to do. Okay, God. I looped back around and went out and talked to the principal there and said, your sign out there is ugly. And she says, you mean the one that's blown over? I said, yeah, that one. I said, I don't know how, what, when, who, but I said, if I could gather up some resources, could we do like we did with the sign down at Love Inc. and put 6x6 posts and a 4x4 cross? Can we renovate that sign and get rid of that white and the black and pound the metal out, get it flat? And can we mount that sign up on a post permanent for you? She said, well, you know, we're hoping within a year or two to be able to get a new sign. But she said, that would be so awesome. And I want to bless them farther than what I even said. I want to get new panels. I have a contact over in Roaring Springs. And he's going to give us a break on the new panels. Those are like the yellow ones. And I think the white ones look so much more pure. And I don't know how their letter supply is, but a used set of letters is about $75 to give them enough letters to spell things without using, you know, sevens for 11s and things like that, okay? And there's no lights inside. And I would like to investigate getting LED bulb inside that it can be lit. And, you know, I could see spending $450, $500 on this. I'd love to have a timer inside that it'll come off and on. And I know that's so much more than what they're even thinking of right now. But what if? What if they announce a chicken barbecue all through this year, every barbecue they have? And what if more finances come in? And what if they say, now we can hire that teacher that we did not have the funds to do? What if he's a dynamic teacher and he makes a difference in the life of one child? And he ends up being the next Billy Graham or Benny Hinn or John Bennett that invests in us. What's that? You are? Okay. Good. Don't let them know about what we're trying to do here, okay? But I want to bless them more than what I told them that I was going to try to do. And I've already had a little bit of money come in for the posts and everything, and a couple men said they'll work on digging the holes. But right there is a simple example of, now, what does that have to do with eternity? That's not my responsibility. That's God's responsibility. I just need to work on what he has called me to do, which is to help organize some help for that sign. The next thing is B-Shock. He's a hip-hop artist from down in Toccoa, Georgia, that he's been up here several times through Love, Inc. He was up at our church Tri-State Ministry Center last year, and there was about 125 kids there. And we would just wanted to get him into that area of the church. It's a big enough venue that we could have many more. But he's going to come back, Lord willing, March 24th. It's a Friday night. And I don't see any reason why we cannot have 500 kids in there from the tri-state area, from up here, from Claysburg. They've come. There's people that drove from Philadelphia one time to come to an event that we had here because this is the furthest north that he comes. It costs about $3,000 to get him here, which the church is willing to do. And I said, I'll work on drawing some resources up from my area, and I'll see if I can gather up $1,200 towards this event. And what I'd like to see above and beyond this is to have a snack for everyone that comes. That, you know, stamp their hand once, and they get a hot dog, a bag of chips, and a water. I don't know how much more that would cost over top of the $1,200, but it's doable. It's March. We've got time to get something like that ready to make that happen. What are the eternal results in that? Satan knows better than anybody how to twist music and use it for a wrong way. But right here's a man that's going to be able to speak to kids in a way that we never could. And he has a salvation message. His whole thing is not about the music. It's about God and getting the kids to think about God through the Christian songs that he has. You can check him out at bshock.com. He's a man that was in the world playing the nightclub scenes, the sex, the drugs, the alcohol. He would take handfuls of $20 bills and throw out over the crowd from the balcony when he was in nightclubs, and the crowds went crazy. And God says, that's not what I've called you to do. I've got you something better than this. And he felt quite a repercussion from the people that were following him as he took about a year sabbatical from all that and started seeking God and then writing Christian songs. And he's been doing it for 5 years, and I forget how many salvations now that he's had at his events, because every single one, he has that. Last time down at our church, somebody bought every single kid there a CD, and they handed out CDs to the kids because they were called to do that at that moment. The third thing, and this one seems just about as strange as it gets, is Junior the Camel. That several years ago, the Rangers felt compelled, and if you look right down there at the bottom right, you can see Jim and Marcy, and there's Eli looking far away from a camel walking down Main Street of Everett, and he's looking somewhere else. I guess because a camel doesn't have a motor or something like that in it, but there's our Eli. Okay. But the Rangers said, what if we got and rented a camel for the parade and for the live nativity at Love, Inc.? That's when they have the Santa parade and Santa comes to town. And our point is, Jesus is already in town. So we rented this camel, came through, and that night there was so many more kids there, although we didn't have time to properly promote it like we should. And so this year, outside of Love, Inc., I would like to gather up money that we can get Junior here again for the parade, and this time heavily promote it. We want to change the live nativity this year and make it heavily, heavily kid-oriented so that the entire focus is on the kids, because the kids are not going to drive themselves there. That's going to get the mothers and the fathers and the aunts and the uncles, and we really want to put a huge focus on that. That'd be November 25th, the Saturday right after Thanksgiving. Last time it cost about $750 to rent the camel, and we had a big conversation at, is that a waste of God's money or not? And we felt led to do it, and we did it, and I believe it made a difference. And you can read through the Bible, all the crazy things that God asked people in the Bible to do. I keep thinking about the prophet that had to lay naked for a year on one side, then on the other, and I thought, why would God do that? Why would God ask somebody to do that? Would I have the fortitude to do that if God asked me? Would I have the fortitude to do it all year if he asked? But God can use whatever he wants to make a difference in somebody's life. And we're just called to to hear a calling and be obedient to it. There's a very seldom a time I come up here, I don't mention Love Inc., you know, but Love Inc. now, the yard sale. We have 2 yard sales worth of stuff already priced, ready to go, but we can't get it through the doors fast enough. So they're going to be open now on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 to 3, but we need more people to help be part of the yard sale thing. Maybe just to donate one day or one morning a month that we can get a few more people to help get that stuff rolling through, that money can then be used for the kingdom through Love Inc. We have the Bethel House that we're working for transformational housing. We have never seen the need for transformational housing as much as we've seen this year. Last week I got 3, if not 4 calls about transformational housing. And so there's really a huge, huge need going on in the county. We need communication with the Bethel House. We have no money in the budget to fix the Bethel House because our main focus is on the yard sale building and the apartments and the workshop and stuff down at the building that was donated to us down there. And so all this has to happen. That Bethel House has to happen through resources outside of the Love Inc. budget. There's just so much more I could talk about. I spoke about enough. Eric Wilds that comes here now has a home called Vita House. Vita means life in Italian. It's also his mother's name. But he right now has 3 men in there through Love Inc. And so some of these guys come with nothing. They just come. What if somebody felt compelled to get a little travel case and put shaving cream and toothpaste and razors, and that Eric had them ready? So when somebody came with nothing, that they had a start. As simple as that. I mean, things like that to me is like that mother that said, I didn't do all these big things. You know, I just tried to raise my kids. I just tried to help out where I could. That's what I see in there. So that's enough said. I'm sure you got the idea. I mean, we're a smaller group here this morning. I printed off 50 of those Bible inserts, but it seems like it's us faithful few here this morning. And I probably haven't said anything we haven't already known. But I just want us in this 2017 to just really keep our focus on eternal results, not our salvation, not our rewards when we get to heaven, but what can we do while we're here on this earth, in this world, to make a difference in the lives of those around? And that's only going to come by alone time, seeking God, recognizing His voice, and then being obedient to the calling and the little things, the little instant things that He tells us to do. And that is what is going to make the eternal results in 2017. This year, I just pray that we will spend and be spent for the calling on our life and the thing that God has called us to do. Amen.